The county's number one talk show, the 9 till noon show on Highland Radio.
You're very welcome back. We're into the second hour. It's Tuesday, so that means Community Garda information is on the way. We were chatting to Eunan before 10. His dad, Fonzie, was... Maker Bob was his nickname because he had a hand in everything over the years, including going door to door, and he ran a book so people maybe couldn't pay everything up front, and he helped them out in that regard. A texter said, what Eunan is saying resonates with me. My dad was also a delivery driver and was away from 8 a.m. to 12 at night. Mommy would have the dinner ready for him each night. My dad used to head off with his shirt and his big coat. Even in the summer, he'd have the big coat tucked under his arm. Mommy would say, what do you have that for? He'd say, I'd rather have it and not need it than be looking for it. You wouldn't hear of people working 8 a.m. to 12 at night these days. Health and safety wouldn't allow it. I'm sure this kind of story will resonate with people. Indeed, and a caller says, and I was waiting on these kind of texts because we're blessed, you know, we're blessed that we are a big community here in this. There's almost 200,000 of us, right? But, you know, between this show and this radio station, we get to sort of interact and reach each other. So I knew people will remember Fonzie, and hopefully, Eunan, you're listening, because whilst it's some time ago, people remember your dad very fondly. And a caller says, Fonzie came into my home in Burt. My mother spotted a very comfortable pair of sandals on Fonzie's feet and commented on them. He took them off and sold them to my mother as she had sore feet, very sore feet, and he left our house in his sock soles. We remember Fonzie and his wife with affection. Thanks from Kathleen. Another caller says, I remember Fonzie McNamee coming to us in Buncrana in 1967. Love this chat about Fonzie. Please have more of this pure gold. Well, it's all down to our listeners, and it just so happens that Eunan is a diamond and shared his memories with us. I was one of eight born in the 1930s. 19 children was the norm. It was a different time then altogether. Yeah, I mean, two's the norm now. One. Too. And I don't want anyone to think this is a judgy conversation. It's more of an observation. It's more of an observation of how life has changed and maybe how our priorities have changed or what our expectations are before we have children, etc. So I don't want anyone to feel they're being talked about or targeted, because I was born into a different generation as well where the families were smaller. The Japanese sold more adult nappies than the kids' nappies last year. Italy's indigenous population is unredeemable. Germany the same. Europeans' native population cannot be sustained. Therefore, mass immigration policy. That's down to anti-family, anti-life, anti-human policies. Another, as the family goes, so goes the nation and so goes the whole world in which we live. I believe that's a quote from John Paul II. Another, you cannot sustain population unless you put family centre of all policies. By family, I don't mean just mother, father. Family is a wider than that. In ancient Ireland, it was called Finn, as in the name Fine Gael, family of the Irish. It was a wider group then. Hi, Greg. The free sterilisation scheme flies in the face of logic. We're facing a pension crisis due to a combination of reduced fertility and the systemic promotion of contraception and abortion. By 2050, there'll be four workers to one pensioner. Bringing emigrants into the country has not worked to resolve the issue. 80% of all migrants issued with a PPSN number in the past 2 years have never entered the labour market. I'd have to double check that stat. That seems incredibly high. But they say it's based on the Department of Social Protection stats. Germany has already discovered this, and as a result of tightened immigration laws and introduced measures to encourage citizens to have children, we need to encourage childbirth and fast. But the bottom line is whether you like it or not, and sorry to whisper the loud bit quietly, in terms of, you know, replenishing the population in Ireland or Germany or Britain for that matter, that is not going to happen. You might sustain birth rates, you might somewhat slightly increase them, but they've been on such a steep decline for so long that it can't be reversed. And to sustain countries such as the ones just mentioned, it will require migration. I have two sons who are a good age now. I knew that I didn't want more kids. 25 years ago, I asked to be sterilised. I was young and thought that was it. No more kids, the doctor said to me. If your two sons were killed, you'd have nobody. How would you feel then? I didn't end up getting it done. That doctor made me feel so low and I've never gotten over it. I've been on the pill since. I never got the opportunity to be sterilised. If we want to be sterilised, we should be allowed to just get it done. It shouldn't be a case of a questionnaire. It's a different situation for men to women. I agree. And you, it's your body and you should be perfectly entitled to do what you want to do. I think it would be the responsibility of a doctor, the same as if you were getting a face tattoo. And I'm not degrading childbirth to a tattoo, but to make sure if you're doing something that's irreversible or very hard to reverse, that you consider all options and realities. But to sort of guilt you into effectively being able to have spare kids or something, that's horrendous, I think. And you should be entitled to make the choice that you make. And that's what I want to be very clear in sort of having this conversation, is not to point the finger at anyone who's made a personal decision. That's fine. But if you set up a policy, and this is only a question, I don't know, if you set up a policy that almost promotes not having children, inevitably the trend follows that. That's what I'm saying. So what you have is people who may not go down that route, who may not want to make or may not have made that decision, then decide to make the decision. I mean, if you're a 22-year-old fella, right, you're out, you don't want ever to be tied down or have responsibilities, you know, you go in and get a vasectomy, you think, yes, here we go. Firstly, it doesn't prevent you from catching any transmittable diseases, but then you could hit 29 and go, ooh, right, okay. You know, so I just think we have to think about it a bit more, that's all. Let me see. Why is the Irish government determined to wipe out the Irish? We need a balance of young people for our very existence. Otherwise, well, they say our culture is lost, but our culture is ever-changing too, some would argue. The government are forcing people to dip into people's pensions to support young ones to get a house. This is not right in any form. Time this government was held accountable by the people of the country. Well, they were elected very recently by the people of this country. Greg, can you give a big shout out to everyone involved in Lifford and Porthall and surrounding areas for putting up flags and bunting? Congratulations and well done from Martin St. Johnston. Thanks. Enjoy your show. Thank you for that. I do appreciate it. A couple of duplicates here. I'll read this again just in case this isn't the one I read earlier. The Graveyard Mass in Tully, Graveyard Balliar. I did read this on Sunday the 27th. It's been pulled forward to 1 p.m. because of Donegal playing in the All-Ireland. A caller says there should be a public viewing of the final in Letterkenny, similar to other towns in the county. Yeah, we'll plug that if you want, by the way. If you've got a public viewing of it, let us know. We'll share it out. Because there's going to be a lot of disappointment with tickets. I'm hearing from some clubs already. When I say hearing, I'm just reading on social media and stuff, that they've got far more requests in than they have tickets. And these are for fully paid up members that tick all the boxes. And I do note some are saying they're going to prioritise the tickets based on activity within the club. I don't know what that means. But it means inevitably some people are going to be disappointed, and it seems kind of a loose metric. But anyway, so listen, we're going to be looking for other ways to watch the game, aren't we? Good morning, Greg. Fantastic credit to Oisin, Kelly, Brendan Devaney and all involved in last night's show. What a show they put together. God bless Highland Radio. And it's available now as a podcast, by the way. Go onto our website in the on-demand section. And it's a great mix of, you know, top-class analytics, a bit of banter, great music. We're going to play a song from it from last night as well. I'll plug it a bit further then. I'm told Erin Friel from Newtown Cunningham, a member of Letterkenny AC, she just got bronze in Macedonia. Congratulations, Erin, and everyone at the club and her family. Brilliant achievement. Great. Love to hear that stuff. And thanks for getting that in. I've loads of your memories from days gone by following Donegal. Thanks very much indeed. Loads of song suggestions, by the way. So if I need any songs from the Bonnington on Sunday, I've got loads. So just to let you know that we are broadcasting a show from the Bonnington Hotel in Dublin on the day of the match. I'm going down. I'm so excited. It's between 11 a.m. and 1 p.m. And lots of you will be down there already. Lots staying in the Bonnington and the Harcourt and D2 and all the other hotels. Lots with really strong Donegal connections. Call into the Bonnington because we want to chat and say hello and have a bit of crack as we build up for the game. And it's not a long walk, actually, then from the Bonnington to Croke Park. But also as part of the show, you can just come in and watch the show or you know, listen to it and interact and have the crack. We'll have some live music, we'll play some studio music, and we'll get the buzz going. But also the Bonington are putting on a special breakfast. It's £20 all-you-can-eat buffet breakfast, right? So you can eat that and you're sorted for the day. So if you want to avail of that, it's £20. If you don't, just call in, say hi. I know some people are already calling in, looking forward to it, and some people are actually leaving a little bit earlier to land into the Bonington at 11 a.m. So they're leaving Donegal a little bit earlier. They're not staying over the night before. So anyway, the excitement is building. We've got your stories. We've got some great stories coming up. We've got some live music and so much more besides on Highland Radio, your official Donegal All-Ireland radio station. We're building up to the big one on Sunday.
The Community Garda information slot is brought to you by Sheridan Security Systems, monitoring homes and businesses in the Northwest for intruder, fire, panic and medical signals. Call Sheridan Security on 91-26025.
Okie dokie, you're very welcome back to the 9 till noon show. And that means it is time for Community Garda information. And we welcome into studio now Garda Claire Rafferty. Good morning, Claire. How are you keeping?
I'm good, thanks, Greg.
Good to have you with us, as always. Okay, right, let's get straight into things. And we'll start with a burglary appeal in the southeast of the county.
Yeah, so this is in Pettigo. So we're appealing for information in relation to this burglary that occurred at St. Mary's Church on the main street in Pettigo on Thursday the 17th of July between 9 a.m. and 4 p.m. So the door to the sacristy was forced open and entry was gained. The sacristy was ransacked, but nothing is believed to have been stolen. So we're appealing to anyone who may have observed any suspicious activity, vehicles or people in that area on that date to make contact with Gardaí in Ballyshannon, and their phone number is 071-985-8530. And as always, the Garda confidential line is there as well, and it's 1-800-666-111 with any information at all.
Okay, it always feels particularly despicable when a church is targeted. That's St. Mary's Church on Main Street, Pettigo, Thursday the 17th of July in the daylight hours of 9 a.m. to 4 p.m. If you've seen anything in that area, please get in contact with the Garda and let them decide if it's relevant or if it's not. Staying in the south of the county, we'll go to Rosnaula next, Claire.
Yes, so on Wednesday the 16th of July at approximately 11:20 a.m, two male teens entered the Franciscan Friary in Rosnaula and attempted to force open a donation box there. Their attempts were unsuccessful and no money was stolen, but there was damage caused while they were there. We have a description. One of the males was wearing a grey tracksuit with grey trainers and a black or navy baseball cap, and the second was wearing a grey top with blue jeans and black trainers. So if anyone observed these boys in that area around that time, we ask you to contact us. And we're particularly interested in hearing from anyone who may have travelled in that area with a dash cam between 11 a.m. and midday on Wednesday the 16th of July. So any relevant information should be passed to Gardaí in Ballyshannon on 071-985-8530.
And just in relation to the dashcam appeal there, because this is another despicable act, it's at any time in that hour. Let the Gardaí download it. They will decide if it's relevant or not, because you might have people reviewing it themselves and going, oh, there's nothing there. But I think with that window, let the Gardaí know and let them go through it in case they can spot something with their investigative eye that maybe the user can't.
Absolutely. Leave it up to us. Just make contact with us and we'll work with you and get whatever we need.
Okay, right. So that's two not dissimilar instances, not too far away over a relatively short period of time. Right, moving north now to Ballybuffet, Claire.
Yeah, so we're appealing for information in relation to a burglary that occurred at the water treatment plant at Mean Crumlin Ballybuffet, so McGrory's Brae there. This was at approximately 1 a.m. on Saturday the 19th of July, so that would have been Friday night into Saturday. Two males wearing hoodies entered the grounds and proceeded to cut the locks of two shipping containers. Nothing is believed to have been stolen during the course of the incident, but we're appealing to anyone who may have travelled along that route, the N15 Ballybuffet to Donegal Town Road. that morning between midnight and 2 a.m. with a dash cam or any information to make it available to us. You can contact again Ballyshannon on 071-985-8530.
Yeah, since the work was done there, good clear lines of sight. So particularly on a quiet enough time, if you were passing, you may have noticed something. Please get in touch with An Garda Síochána. Right, two instances of theft from a car. We'll start in Donaghlúp, I think.
Yeah, so this one occurred at the parochial house in Donaghlúp between 9 p.m. on Tuesday the 15th of July and 2 p.m. on Thursday the 17th of July. A car that was parked near that location was entered and a set of keys and a small amount of cash were stolen from within. There was no damage caused to the car. So we're appealing to anyone who may have observed any type of suspicious activity or vehicles or people in that area on those dates or between those dates to make contact with us in Ballyshannon or again the Garda confidential line 1-800-666-111.
Now the next incident, similar this time though at Inbuncrana.
Yeah, so Garda are appealing for information in relation to the theft incident that occurred in the area of Ferris Lane, Buncrana, between 7:50 p.m. and midnight on Friday the 18th of July. So an unlocked car that was parked at that location was entered between those times. There was a set of headphones and a pair of sunglasses stolen from within. So if anyone observed suspicious activity in that area, or if you can assist us with any relevant information, we ask them to contact us in Buncrana, and the number there is 074-932-0540.
Now, this is not to cast any shade at all on the victims of these crimes, because, you know, life is busy and sometimes we do let our guard down a little, and that's all this is accidentally leaving your car open. But it does leave you very, very vulnerable. Is there any general advice you could give us in light of, you know, these two appeals and other instances of theft that we've heard on the,
yeah,
on
we,
the slot?
We just ask people to be mindful and try and park in a secure location where possible, and always ensure that you have locked your car. If you're not sure, double check, hit the button again and make sure. Do not leave anything worth stealing within sight, and do not make the mistake of trying to hide your belongings within the car once you've parked, because you never know who's watching you. So leave all valuables at home, and if you think there's anything suspicious at all, don't be afraid to ring us. Always report suspicious activity to us immediately.
Yeah, okay. Right, so we're talking now about instances in Lifford earlier this month.
Yeah, well, this one actually happened yesterday.
Oh, sorry, beg your pardon.
It's a traffic-related incident and an alleged assault. And it was yesterday, 21st July, between 3:15 p.m. and 3:30. So the traffic-related incident occurred at the roundabout in Lifford, and the subsequent alleged assault incident occurred a short distance out the Castle Finn Road on the N15 just before the Villain Station, where people may have witnessed an altercation there. So we appeal to anyone who may have been in the area with a dash cam between those times to make the footage available to Garda. If anyone witnessed either of these incidents, we ask you to contact Garda in Letterkenny on 074-916-7100.
It sounds like it could be framed by some as a road raid incident. Right, okay. Now, a road traffic collision on the 20th.
Yes, so we're appealing for witnesses to this two-vehicle road traffic collision that occurred on Sunday the 20th. At approximately 4:45 p.m. on the N13 at Carronamaddy, Burnfoot. So one vehicle was exiting the slab road onto the N13 and the other vehicle was travelling on the N13 from Letterkenny towards Bridgend when the collision occurred. The two drivers and four passengers in the cars were taken to Letterkenny University Hospital to receive medical treatment following this collision. None of the injuries are believed to be life-threatening in nature, but we're appealing to anyone who may have witnessed this collision to make contact with us in Buncrana on 074 932 0540, or if anyone travelled in the area again with dash cam, please make it available to us. Give us a call and we'll look into it.
And of course, if there's anything obvious in relation to the vehicles that people have observed in advance of a collision, I know people are, I know that could be useful to Gardaí as well, given the fulsome of an investigation that needs to be. A couple of people contacted me soon after that, and by the sounds of things, people were very lucky to survive that collision. But if you've seen it, observed it, anything to do with it, pass that information on to Gardaí Síochána Síochána. And a second road traffic collision appeal, this time Cranford.
Yeah, this one is a bit worrying in nature. It's a different type of one. So in the early hours of Sunday, the 20th of July, approximately 12:30, so this would be Saturday night, a motorist was travelling on the R245 at the Pans Cranford from Milford towards Carrigart, when they had to bring their vehicle to an abrupt stop after travelling around a corner, as they had struck what they believed to be a person on the road. Upon exiting the vehicle, the driver discovered that what he had struck was in fact dark clothing that had been stuffed with bags and covered in ketchup. The driver and the passenger of the vehicle were not injured, but they were both understandably very shaken up, and there was damage caused to the car as a result of this collision as well.
So is a line of the investigation, and I know there's more to the appeal, that someone had created this with a view to someone believing they actually had hit a person?
That's exactly what it seems
that
to be so far, yes.
Unbelievable. And I know it's an ongoing investigation, that's a line of inquiry, but it does point to that, Claire. What a horrendous thing to do. Your body would go into a shock, and even if you found out after the fact that it wasn't a person, you know, that sort of the remnants of that shock stays as if it were.
Absolutely. The slightest bit of an accident or thinking an accident happened can send people into all sorts of shock. And also, when this car came around the turn, it could have swerved to avoid what was on the road and into something else.
Yeah.
You know, there's so many different aspects to this incident. Thankfully, and nobody's hurt, but it's something we're really looking into here.
Yeah, and as far as you're aware, and I know this is in a different area that you operate, but had the bags been made to look like a person, or...
I believe so.
Okay.
So we are following a definite line of inquiry in relation to this incident, and we're anxious to speak with anyone who may have travelled in that area and who may have observed a white car with three young males on board parked up nearby. This car is believed to have been in the area around the time of the collision and then immediately left in the direction of Carrigart afterwards. So we appeal to anyone who may have travelled along that route with a dash cam between midnight and 1 a.m. on Saturday night to make the footage available to us. If anyone travelled within the Carrigart area between 12:30 a.m. and 1:30 a.m. with a dash cam, we ask you to just get in touch with us as well so we can check it out. We're very anxious to progress this investigation, and we appeal to the males in question to make contact with us in Milford, and the phone number for us there is 074 915 3060. As already stated, we're following a definite line of inquiry and all available CCTV is being sought and examined. So those involved in this very serious matter are advised to make contact with investigating Gardaí.
And okay, and in case it's not perfectly clear what Claire is saying, they're very confident of finding those responsible, and it's far better if you were to come forward in this process. And this is not Claire saying this, I strongly suspect there's probably videos going around or something as well. Don't forward them on, and if you've got information, get them into the guards. It's not fun. It's not funny. It's terrible. It's a terrible, terrible thing to do. All right. Some information on the Check It Fits service. This is useful, right? Because we think we're doing the right thing, don't we?
Oh,
you know what I mean?
You think it's right until you speak to these guys. So
I wasn't going to go that far, but now that you say it, yes. Because, you know, you think, right, we've got the ISO fix or whatever it's called. It's in and everything seems right, but is my child too small for a booster seat, or am I putting the strap on correctly in my triple lock seat, or whatever it might be? There's loads of questions, and child seats, booster seats, the fully enclosed ones, they're fantastic, but it's imperative we're using them right, Claire.
Yes, there's so many different aspects. All the chairs are so different. They seem simple, but we just want people to make sure that they're right. So that's why the RSA are great with these free check it fit services, and they're coming to Donegal at the end of the month. Their service will be open from 10 a.m. to 5:30 p.m. at each location, and there's no need to make a booking. You just turn up there. So I have four locations. The first one is Tuesday the 29th of July at Aldi in Bunkrana. The second is Wednesday the 30th of July at Smith Toys in Letterkenny. Thursday the 31st of July at Super Value in Donegal Town. And lastly, Friday the 1st of August at Aldi in Dunloe. So the Check A Fit service is a nationwide free expert service which aims to put parents and guardians' minds at ease that their child's car seats is safely and securely fitted in their car. Experts will advise on how to fix any problem, demonstrate how to fit the restraint correctly, and answer any queries participants might have. There's information if anyone wants to look it up on the rsa.ie/checkitfits for more information. And there's also information going to be available on our Facebook page as well if you want to have a look there.
Brilliant stuff. Community Garda information for this Tuesday the 22nd of July. By the time one of your colleagues is in here next Tuesday, do you think we'll have Sam?
We better have Sam. Best of luck to all the lads. Hopefully now we get across the line on Sunday.
All right, brilliant stuff. That's what we're hoping. Okay, thanks so much. That's Garda Claire Rafferty. Back with more after the break. Now our next guest on the show is Tara Grimes. Good morning, Tara. Thank you for your time.
You're very welcome, Greg. Good morning.
We are going to talk now about the unexpected menopause symptoms. We're getting better, aren't we, about speaking about speaking more openly about menopause. I think certainly in formats like this, I know it's a topic we cover extensively here, but there's always more that needs to be done, doesn't it? And we need to be having the right conversations too as well.
100%. And with that increased exposure around menopause, also comes a lot of misinformation as well. So I think it's really important that we have the science and the evidence-based information that's put out there, as opposed to the, you know, the scaremongering as well. And as a registered nutritionist and trainer and coach for menopausal women, most clients come to me because they're struggling with one of the major side effects of menopause, which is change in body shape, increase in belly fat, increase in weight, and it can be quite distressing for women. But again, there's a lot of misinformation out there, so it's important that we keep it accurate and that we're not scaring women either.
Yeah, for sure. But at the same time, changes are a double-edged sword, because as menopause arrives, it arrives at a certain time in people's lives. And unfortunately, often we have to do sort of public awareness things whereby you get women who put everything down to menopause as well. Do you know what I mean? And maybe issues, more important issues are missed. You know what I mean? So I've got this and that must be the menopause, when in fact it could be something else. So it's to make sure you check everything right, not to make people afraid or scared or what have you, Tara.
Yeah, 100%. And I do a lot of posts. I've done a lot of posts recently in social media around that very topic, because, you know, it's got to the point now where if you have an itchy nose, well, it must be the menopause. Mm. You know, it's gone a little bit too far. And, you know, in my mother's day, it was just called the change.
Yeah.
It was a change of life, and nobody really talked about it. And it was kept hush-hush, you know. I don't know whether it was shame. I don't know whether women didn't want to discuss their private and personal details around their hormonal changes to other people. And it's great now that that has changed. But as you said quite rightly, that with it has brought a raft of, well, you know, I've got sore joints, it must be the menopause. Oh, I've got a bad back, oh, it must be the menopause, when in fact a lot of it is due to other issues and not the menopause at all.
Yeah, and of course then there are things that come with the menopause. Potentially, you know, your bones can become a bit more brittle and what have you, and you need to keep your eye on that. So anyway, over to you, Tara, because you use your platform fantastically to speak to women. What are some of the key messages that you want to get out today using this platform?
Well, I think the most important thing is is that a lot of menopausal issues are misconstrued to be connected to the menopause, when in fact it's got to do with a lot of people's lifestyles. Now, we have the vasomotor symptoms like, you know, your hot flushes, your sleep disruption, brain fog, fatigue, sore joints, and yes, some of those can be contributed to changing hormones. Your estrogen levels drop, your progesterone levels drop, and testosterone. They don't even gradually decrease, Greg. Mm. They literally fall off the end of a cliff. Fresh, yeah. So it can be quite an abrupt sort of introduction into perimenopause and menopause. But if you're in a position with your health that it wasn't starting off well coming into menopause, then it's going to be a bumpy ride. And for some women, it feels like they've been hit by a truck. And I know from coaching women for a long period of time that a lot of their symptoms that they came into the program with reduce when they lose some weight, when they go out and even start doing some things like going for a walk, when they start introducing more whole foods into their diet, when they start managing their stress. Mm. And a lot of the common symptoms like weight gain, sleep disruption, sore and achy bones and muscles, the brain fog and fatigue, they start to disappear because a lot of those are contributed to their obesity or their weight, and not necessarily to, to the menopause symptoms.
Yeah, and then often the psychological stuff can follow that as well. But I mean, ideally, Tara, you want to be menopause ready, don't you? If you haven't made sort of the adjustments to your lifestyle that you're talking now, you don't necessarily want to wait and sort of have to start a new regime just as you are starting to deal with the onset of menopause. Would your advice be to be aware, you know, it's coming, and maybe even in advance of that, I'm not saying you get a specific date, right? But, you know, to sort of say, right, this is where my life is probably going to be going in 2 years, 8 years, and maybe now is the time to sort of be getting to be getting myself in tip-top form.
100%. And I always say, like, I had a conversation with a 30-year-old this morning, and, you know, I was saying, Andrew, you have to start future-proofing yourself now. You know, it doesn't matter whether you're in menopause or not, whether you're a male or a female, you have to start future-proofing yourself. And, you know, osteoporosis, osteopenia, brittle bones, you know, muscle deterioration, we have to protect ourselves. We have to start doing this in some sort of weights. Start moving, eating more protein, having a more robust diet, looking after our body weight and our health to protect ourselves. And it will be easier. I coach both cohorts of individuals, people who have and people who haven't. And the ones coming into the program who have been looking after themselves in their 20s and 30s and been fairly consistent, it definitely is much easier for them. But I think, you know, as I say, whether you're a man or a woman, and I think, again, with women now, there's so much in the mass media around menopause and menopause issues. And I think it's important that we don't attribute everything to menopause because, you know, we don't want to scare women either. It's not that bad. Yes, I know that. And we have things like HRT now, which are hugely beneficial for women going through the menopause.
Has the fear of HRT among some been dispelled now? And a lot of that work's only really happened in the last couple of years. You know, people being, you know, tough it out because this could happen to you if you take HRT and all that kind of stuff. There's better information out there now, I think, isn't there, Tara?
Yeah, and I think the healthcare practitioners and the GPs, they understand the science, they understand the data. And, you know, I think there was a scaremongering again around HRT. I know when I was young, my first impression of HRT was, you know, the headlines plastered across the tabloid media in the Sun going HRT causes breast cancer. Mm. And that comes from a study from the Women's Health Initiative many years ago, where the preliminary findings of the study was leaked at a very early stage of the study, and it was misinformation, it was incorrect, and people jumped on it and they plastered it all over the newspapers. And this has stuck with a lot of women, and I know it certainly had stuck with me. And, you know, after doing the research and reading through the studies and now looking at all the evidence, you know, we now know that, in fact, that women can benefit from taking HRT in terms of their heart health. And the irony is that postmenopausal women are seven times more likely to die from heart disease than they are to die from breast cancer. And taking HRT can help your heart health, you know, as a postmenopausal woman. So it has a lot of benefits as well, but I think GPs and practitioners now, they understand the person sitting in front of them and their own personal risk factors when it comes to HRT, and everybody's well informed, you know, but I know it's a huge leg up for a lot of women going through it.
Yeah, and I think one too, it's important that I think often women think too much about people around them, and I think sometimes with your own health particularly, you have to be a bit selfless. That's the opposite of selfish, isn't it? A bit selfless, and or even be a bit selfish, sorry. You know, not try and put on a brave face. You know, if your body's telling you something, you go and get it looked at. That's your body saying, right, here you go. That's what I'm concerned about, people putting stuff down to this, that and the other. Or, you know, my kids are 18 now and I don't want them worrying about me if they hear I'm going to the dog. I know everyone's different, right? But I just think there's an awful lot of people that are too blooming brave.
Yeah, you know, there's not much point being a martyr. It's not going to help you. You know, go and talk to your GP. I think now that women, because it's absolutely plastered everywhere you look, you know, it's Menopause Central. And groups of friends, I know certainly groups of my friends, we talk about it all the time. And, you know, if we're moaning about something, well, we can connect it to the menopause. And if it's not the menopause, one of us will say, well, it's actually probably not the menopause. But, you know, don't sit in silence. Don't be a martyr. You know, there's not much point living your life in the shadows. As far as I'm concerned, as a woman who coaches women over 40 and 50, we're in the prime of our life. We don't sit the way we used 2 years ago and put up and shut up. There are ways out of this. Reach out for support. You know, I know, like, I do lots of free webinars. If you go onto my website, there's free workshops there, and it's all to do with menopausal women. There's free resources on diet, nutrition, fitness. They can be download it, you know, they can be implementable straight away, and they're all evidence-based. It's important as well for women not to be sidetracked with supplements and charlatans and people out there selling their wares that'll have absolutely zero impact on helping them lose fat, deal with the vasomotor symptoms, and help their menopause symptoms.
And also, if you put anything in the search bar of Google and then follow it with the word menopause, and I mean anything, you will sort of be able to put it down to that. You know what I mean? That's just the bottom line. And unfortunately, that's how we get too much of our medical advice, because it's a leading question. It's a leading search. So, you know, see your GP. Tara, where can people go to get more information on the stuff that you're doing?
Well, they can visit me on my Instagram, Tara Grimes Fitness, or on Facebook. Come in and message me. I'm there every day. I'm dropping in and out of the DMs every day if they want to message me privately. They can contact me through my website, taragrimesfitness.com. And I also have a chat on my website that can come in and ask questions. But, you know, myself and my team, if you want to come in and book a chat with us, you know, completely in private, feel free to do that. Okay. You can do that through my website as well.
All right, Tara, thanks for the chat. Have a good day. Take care of yourself.
Not at all, Greg. Thank you for inviting me.
Bye-bye. We're getting some brilliant stories, some brilliant memories relating to football, GAA football, of course, be it 1992, 2012, anything in between, hopefully 2025. We've a brilliant carousel of pictures as well. Where are they? There they are. We've a brilliant carousel of pictures as well of particularly it's young ones. The first thing you do with a toddler, stick them in the Sam Maguire as soon as you get anywhere near it. We've got some great pictures. I keep forgetting to trigger them when the ad breaks are on, but I will do so for the rest of the day. We've got a bit of music from last night's Great Road to Croker show at the Clanree, and we'll be chatting to some people who will be making it back for Sunday. They've got maybe nice rolls. Not nice rolls, that sounds like you're talking about food, but something to do as part of the big day. And some people are making arrangements as to how they'll watch the match on Sunday because they're just not home. But you're with us in our hearts. Don't worry about that. So any more stuff like that, just let us know. 086 60 25,000. Share the vibes across the Northwest, and also to our fantastic families, our fantastic Highland Radio family living around the world. Some refer to them as diaspora. I think I never really got on with that word, to be honest with you, but there you go. I'll do a couple of comments because we've lots coming up with the next hour, but there's going to be a lot of football stuff in there. I started going into menopause about 10 years ago, says a listener. At the time, I had absolutely no idea and had never heard of perimenopause. Oh, you already have several health issues, including underactive thyroid, PCOS and depression, and I'm on medication for that. When I started having the typical menopause symptoms, you know, your hot flushes and etc., I went to my GP and surprisingly she, yes, a female doctor, was very anti-HRT and did her best to dissuade me to go on it. I did go to another GP and he was much more open to listening to me and advising me of the pros and cons of HRT, but ultimately he made me feel like it was my choice and decision to make. If I had listened to the first GP, I wouldn't have gone on HRT, which has been a huge help, albeit it took some time and tweaking. There's still lots of doctors that need to be updated on their understanding of choices out there. And I think even though you're talking about 10 years ago, 5 years ago, I think even in the last 2 or 3 years, there's been great advances in that regard. I'm not saying you will not find a naysaying GP, but it is interesting that it was a female GP. I wonder, did she advise you to sort of maybe get on a more holistic approach? I'd be interested to find out. Do the Garda authorities have any idea how ridiculous it sounds to be asking people with information about a crime at Donnyloop Church to pass the info to Gardaí at Ballyshannon? God be with the days when you spoke to a local guard in Castlefin or Letterkenny. No one's going to ring Ballyshannon. Well, I understand exactly where you're coming from, but, you know, if you can ring them, if you've got info, I think you should. But I understand. And listen, I know a lot of the Gardaí on the ground and those that represent Gardaí, the GRA, etc., would be very much in agreement with you.